From the Gospel of John, chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the listening ears of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I usually choose my sermon text on Tuesday. And this week, I wondered if maybe I should wait until Wednesday in order to know which gospel we might need to hear together today to deal with whatever might be going on in the world. But then Tuesday afternoon, it came to me that no matter what, this is the gospel we needed to hear today. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. What has come into being with him was life, and the life was the light of all the people. No matter what, the gospel is that the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. That is the hope. That is the promise through which we need to view the world. Love wins. Light shines in the darkness. That's what we say. It's what we want to believe about the way God works in the world. Sometimes it is easy to proclaim that good news. And yet it was not easy for Jesus to proclaim that good news. He proclaimed it as people were about to throw him off a cliff. He proclaimed it when people were angry at him for talking to those who weren't good enough to be talked to or righteous enough to get his attention. As I listened to the people who came into this place this week expressing what they were feeling, people are so raw. There is disappointment. There is shock. There is some cautious optimism. There are some of us who are ready to just let it go and go forward, while others are afraid that hate has been let out to roam freely. Some people are afraid to come out of their houses because they feel like they've been defined as other one too many times. The wisdom that we hear is that the voters were driven by a belief that the political system is broken and needs an outsider to fix it. People voted for change. And change can be scary, but that's not the fear that we're having. The fear is that some of the people didn't vote for change. Some did. Some voted for jobs. Some voted for change. But some people voted for hate. And that's the environment we need to deal with now. As much as our impulse is to make peace by pretending that there is no conflict, we can't do that this time. We cannot tell people just to not be afraid. We can't tell them not to worry because whatever they fear won't happen. Some of it is already happening in the streets, in the classrooms. With his permission, I'm sharing with you something that Jackson Wong, one of our college students, wrote. He said, if you don't get it, if you don't understand what people are afraid of, you need to listen to somebody that's more upset than you. You need to try to understand why because we don't want to let them be upset alone. We need to let their fear in. We cannot just tell other people not to be afraid. Ultimately, the fear that I'm hearing is that the light went out. But we are the people that say the light is still shining. We are the people that are going to stand up and say that hate does not and will not win. Love wins, and God has given us work to do to witness to that truth with our actions, with our prayers, with the way we deal with each other in the world, not naively, not in a, oh, well, let's just be nice to each other and all of this will go away. This is the deeper kind of faith we're talking about here. I heard this week that a friend of mine, who's in her 50s, has been in great pain. She cannot move. She cannot work. She is a woman of energy and grace and faith, deep faith in Jesus. She had surgery because that was her only choice. But all is not well. All may be well, but all is not well yet. Some people were saying, well, this isn't fair. You've been a good person. She has a faith in Jesus that says, I follow a Savior who knows what it is to suffer. And he suffers right alongside me, just as I suffer when I see what he has been through. We weep and Jesus weeps. Love wins is not a simple answer. Love wins leads us all the way to the cross. We have a Savior who knows what it is to live in this world. We have a Savior who knows what it is to be all those other people too. We have a Savior who leads us to proclaim freedom for the oppressed, light in the darkness, release for the captors, sight for the blind. That is the gospel on which we stand. This week, I spent a lot of time praying and thinking about who God wants us to be in this time and place. And friends, I believe with all that I am that we are in for a role in our society that is not going to be easy. Our voice in these next years, we cannot allow ourselves the luxury of being silent if the desire for change that has driven this election leads us to a place where change feels like hate, where change acts like hate. We do need to find unity, but the unity we stand for has to come around love. That is the gospel. 15 years ago or so, there was a curriculum called No Place for Hate. The idea is that the schools would be no place for hate, no more racism, no more sexism. The schools would become a hate-free zone. One of my friends who is a teacher, 2 12-year-old boys, one of them white, the other Latino. The white boy said to the other boy, pack your bags, they are coming for you. If the schools cannot be a hate-free zone, we better be a hate-free zone. This needs to be a place where people know that they are welcome. And when we say hate-free, it doesn't mean, well, that person's hateful so they don't come in. It means that we know in our hearts that every one of us has hate and that we need to give it to God to be redeemed and not let it be who we are. Somebody asked me, wasn't it hard to get up and go to work the day after the election? I don't know if the question was about, you know, staying up too late or the results. I don't know. But the answer is no. It was not hard for me to get up and go to work the day after the election because I get to come here where we say as loud and as long as we can that love wins. That is who we are, that is who we will be, because that is who Jesus taught us to be at our core. We are the light that still shines because he gave us that. Later today, we're going to be eating and sharing, but there will be a group of us, a significant number of our members who are not here because they are away in college. In my experience, these are not the spoiled millennials people describe. That is the bias that it is now safe to have. Oh, these spoiled kids, we gave them all participatory trophies. So they're spoiled. Well, guess what? We're the ones that gave them those trophies. And we gave them those trophies because we could not deal with their pain. We didn't want them to have to learn how to suffer. The millennials, I know and you know, they are people that care about and love this country. They care about each other, and they care about this church. Have passion for this church. Whoever they voted for, their campuses are a wreck right now. With fear. Some with violence. So we're going to make them cards, and we're going to send them kisses. To say, this is for you, to remind you that we love you, and we're going to empower them to give them to someone else. Share it with somebody else that needs to know that they are beloved children of God. Whatever we see in front of us, we get to choose to live in the promise of God, and we get to choose to believe in hope and light and love, because no matter what, the light still shines. In Jesus' name, amen.